The founders forgot that we had medical liberty.
We seem to be losing by taking the side of the middle. And we seem to constantly be losing.
I think Trump has made some kind of arrangements with Russia.
This person has made the allegations that they were a man.
If there's content that's borderline, that's content that we basically will not.
There is no second best. There is no second best crypto asset.
Let's talk about science.
I respect you and I have a great deal of appreciation to you, JF, because in a time when everybody was attacking me, when Sargon doxed me and smeared me, you were the only one who gave me a platform, and you were very kind in helping me put the truth out there.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to JFG Tonight. Are we live? I don't see it here. Why Rumble is so late at starting the live? I don't even know if you guys are getting the intro. Yes, I am 4 minutes late also. It happens once a year, twice a year that I can be late. Sometimes I have urgent stuff to deal with before the beginning of the show. Hopefully, Rumble has now unblocked, because I see a gray live button. John Drake says, doesn't matter, all of these platforms mess up. We should be live. Hopefully that works. How are you doing, people of the regular chat? Yes, my life is over. Grok has given its final judgment. I asked, like many people are asking, Grok, who do I sound with? Who do I sound like? And Grok determined that I sound like Matt Walsh. Oh, that was hard. That was hard. Now, are we live? What the fuck is happening? Yes, we're live. I think we should be live. I see it now live. Rumble has to fix this, really. It's ridiculous. Blimpy Supervisor says, you really don't sound like Matt Walsh, though. Yeah, that's true. I mean, Grok is totally missing the point here. Matt Walsh is a pale copy of everything I've been saying for 8 years. He's been saying it for the last year. More soft, more pale, more shy. And it's like, well, there's a difference between JF sounds like Matt Walsh and Matt Walsh sounds like JF. That is the thing that seems to, that Grok seems to have missed. If I don't show as live, refresh the window. Hopefully that will help people. Because I refreshed the window and I showed up as live. Now I show up as non-live. Rumble, absolutely unacceptable behavior here. End of the line, Joel says, Matt Walsh, next movie. What is a revolutionary phenotype? I don't think it's worth copying scientific statements, because it doesn't drag the audience. Nottingham is brain rot. Oh my god, there's so much going on in this video. So first we have the aggression of a dog. Now this guy wants to give justice to the dog.
Whoa, what are you doing?
Now some handicapped in a wheelchair. Oh no, the handicapped in the wheelchair goes to the ground. Now the dog justiciar is undergoing the revenge of the dog abuser. Oh, but he slides.
Yeah, go mental, guys. And I don't want to talk to you. There's a difference for me. I don't want to talk to you. I can film in public.
Yeah, I know.
Because you don't want to talk to you.
That's what I mean. It's embarrassing.
No, you're embarrassing because you don't even know what you're on about. The dog's bit somebody. We're filming it. Piss off.
I can't even understand. Can't even understand what they're saying to each other. Oh my god, this English urban hellscape. End of the line, Joel says, every day. Yes, it's quite like hell in the cities. The full signal text chain has been released between the JD Vance and Exet of this world. There's not much to be said about the extended release. Again, I think we're faced with an intentional leak, because all that this does is further confirm that JD Vance was kind of resistant to the idea of striking. Team, I am out for the day, but I think we are making a mistake. 3% of US trade runs through the Suez. 40% of European trade does. There is a real risk that the public doesn't understand this, or why it's necessary. So I think this whole leak still aims to frame JD Vance as a man of the people, a man of America first, a man who, even among the small warmongering around Yemen, even there was hesitant and didn't see the justification for the American people. Based Saxon says, I can understand a German or Swedish accent better than some Northern English accents, and it's their first language. Absolutely. I think there's something like an international English that's developing, and the UK is drifting far away from it, let me tell you. UK on the streets with the street slang, very hard to understand. Blimpy Supervisor says, in Birmingham, this old drunken fellow was telling me a story about a crocodile, and I heard the word crocodile, and that was it. Okay. Nicolas Fuentes has the right commentary on this. We live under Jewish fascism. Because you have random students being kidnapped for First Amendment-protected activities. So they are in a visa in the U.S. They engage in some protest, which should be absolutely protected. First Amendment should apply to immigrants too, at least once they're in the U.S., if not when they apply for a visa. And they get kidnapped by these teams of ICE. It's like, even I am very much pro deportation, very much anti-immigration, can't be more anti-immigration than me. But this is not the way. This is targeting the enemies of the Jewish people, violating the Constitution for the Jews. This is what's happening here. So here, a Muslim woman being captured by ICE. They approach her. They are dressed as civilians. They ask her a question to kind of identify her. The ICE people are wearing masks. Those are not masks for COVID health. Those are masks to protect their identity. D. Thomas says, I know it probably helps the Jews, but I don't care. Well, you can't have separate enforcement of the law. You can't have legal classes in America. You can't have, and this is what the Jews are trying to establish, by making anti-Semitism a semi-criminal or somewhat criminal or, oh, well, it's not criminal, but it cuts you from government funding. They are trying to have two separate legal classes where you have a bunch of people to whom the First Amendment apply, including the Jews, and then you have the enemies of the Jews who don't have rights. It's absolutely ridiculous, and I hope that judges do overturn these, because it's not the right way. You're not going to save American demographics by just capturing those specific individuals who engage in protest. What you will do is have a cold effect on speech, a chilling effect on speech that you shouldn't have under the First Amendment. D. Thomas says, are you sure a visa gives you First Amendment protections? I think it's pretty established. It stems from, ultimately, the 14th Amendment. The 14th Amendment states any physical person has the rights to due process and the rights that other people have. So, yes, I do think that the First Amendment applies to anyone physically in the U.S., even an illegal migrant. Blimpy Supervisor says, how can we say whatever on X while the Jews run everything? Is it because they don't think it will hurt them? I think that the Jews are annoyed by the fact that Elon Musk has freed speech about them. And I think their reign of control is coming to an end. But they still have they have a lot of hooks into the Trump administration. So while the corporate free speech of X is freeing slightly on the side of anti-Semitism, the total contrary is happening at the Trump level. And I think that when we see what's happening with the Daily Wire, I think that it is the end of an era for Jewish extremism to be accepted publicly as a kind of dominant voice of American culture. I think we're headed toward the end of this. And the more people will die, the more they will be replaced by the young generations, the more there will be absolute intolerance on having a dominant Jewish voice not labeled as such. I think the Jews will still be able eventually to speak freely. But to dominate culture to the extent that they've been doing is just unfair, and it's deceptive. It's deceptive because you have all of these Jewish outlets that are not presenting themselves as what they are. They are presenting themselves as general affairs, talking, and yet the whole system of media is siding with this side of the debate. Vlad the Empire says, do you think that Trump and Musk aren't controlled by Jews? I mean, they are to an extent, but see, Musk didn't bend the knee so hard to the ADL. I think he has let a degree of free speech happen around Jews that the Jews are uncomfortable with, that they would have wanted more intervention from Musk. So we're not going to complain. I mean, you can complain, say it's not perfect. It's certainly not. There are still injustices. Nicolas Fuentes still being punished, not having a check mark. Lucas Gage not having a check mark. But I think that we have to celebrate the small liberties that were somewhat given to us. People are detecting people are having these revelations that they're not as valuable on the dating market as they thought, because now AI is pairing you with the exact match that you deserve. And now you have a bunch of ugly women who are finding out, what? This is what I deserve?
I'm glad I'm not the only person who has had this experience on Hinge, because I am 1000% certain that Hinge was created with the sole purpose of humbling people. Because I know I'm no supermodel. I know that. I'm cute. I know that I am.
She says, I'm no supermodel. I'm cute, though.
Attractive.
I'm attractive. Bro, you are a 2 out of 10 gorilla-like woman. built like a freaking fridge. Your carcass could serve as a fridge shell, and I could store enough food in there to survive all my life.
But the one that gets me is every day they will be like, this is your perfect match. I think that this is the person that you, like, you should be with. And I'm like, well, what's wrong with my profile? Because something has to be wrong.
Something has to be wrong. All these men are ugly.
That you thought that this was it.
Yeah, so apparently it's this new website, Hinge. And yeah, I guess it's some kind of Tinder. But instead of swiping and rolling through 10,000 different women, Hinge tells you, this is the man. This is the guy for you. And Hinge tries to kind of guess through AI techniques the best fit that will actually work. I like this direction, but at the same time, the market is not ready because these women are not ready to see the truth.
Every day I'm on here and I'm like, where are the hot people? Because they're not.
Where are they?
Not on Hinge.
Well, they're not in this video either. Oh my God. Reality will come back to bite people. The UK government has demanded that Gab submit their new censorship regime under the UK Online Safety Act, threatening massive fines, 18 million euros, or 10% of their annual revenue for not policing speech. We will not comply. We will not pay 1 cent. We will defend our UK users' right to speak freely and reject any law that compels censorship. Their letter and the response from our legal team is attached. Very happy that Gab isn't bending the knee. Now, it's going to be sad if X is forced through these laws to cut service in the UK. I'm very worried. But of course, Andrew Tarba is someone we can count on. I don't know what will happen with this, because sometimes a fine from Europe will lead an American company to feel obligated to pay, like these big tech. But the reality is, if Andrew Tarba never travels to Europe, and I would absolutely recommend he doesn't travel to Europe. If he doesn't, he truly is operating an American service. And what these governments will probably do is try to get the IP of Gab banned and inside the UK. So we'll have a divided internet. But so be it. You know, the UK gets what it deserves. If you can't have leaders that stand for free speech, well, they will. It's not Andrew Tarba's fault. It's ultimately the government, and people will have VPNs to walk around it. End of the line, Joel says they will eventually ban you even from following a content creator like JF. Oh, yeah. I mean, they've been trying already. It's not our first round within censorship. And there will be other waves. We have survived everything for now. Sneed Poster says Europe pushed American companies around a lot. It's why all phones have a USB-C cable now, for example. Oh yeah, sometimes I guess it's still a market that you have to be in, because sometimes I was impressed at how companies wanted to please European legislators, because it's very clear given the direction they've taken that they will not be satisfied with anything. If they tell Elon Musk to ban a few anti-Semites, eventually they will ask Elon Musk to ban even mainstream political candidates. It's definitely where it's headed. Russ Chifley has sent a super chat. Thank you very much. By the way, if you'd like to support the show, use the Streamlabs JFG Tonight tip link in the description below. Streamlabs is my favorite platform to receive support for the show. Rush Chifley says, Jeff, if you're in Mark's position at the end of the recent severance, finally, do you go with Heli like Mark did, or go with his Asian wife? There is something liberal about severance. You know, in the end, it is not full husband sacrifice, because in the end he ends up running with Heli R into the fictitious bureaucratic world. Now we'll get to it. Well, let me get to it, because it's more complicated than it seems. Okay, it's not just Mark betrays his wife. It's not exactly this, but Severance. Yeah, we'll get to it, because it's a very important show, a very complex one. Let's just get a couple of news items knocked out. The White House leveled an entire residential apartment in Yemen because the Houthis' top missile guy was visiting his girlfriend there, according to National Security Advisor Waltz signaled messages. The move resulted in the deaths of dozens of civilians. It's amazing when it's done in the name of Israel, what you can get away with. Genocide, killing of civilians, mass killing of civilians with no consequences. It's been for decades now. Many such cases, says D. Thomas. Yeah, and these guys are trying to... the very same people who are totally whitewashing this, they will try to convince you that Putin is this great evil man because he bombarded civilian areas in Ukraine. When you look at the war strategy and the war tactics of Putin, it is so much cleaner than what Israel does in Gaza, what the Americans do now in Yemen. And it's like, it shows you that there are two worlds, really, and Russia is from the old world. The old world of kind of honorable war making. D. Thomas says, I've been thinking about the point of no return ever since the announcement of the F-47. Yeah, so this kind of jet, this furtive jet, I believe. And did they name it F-47 to stroke the ego of Trump as the 47th president? I was wondering about this. Maybe someone knows the history. I don't know, but I was wondering. Russ Chifley says, every time I see Mike Waltz's face, he looks like he needs to badly take a shit. European Union urges its citizen to stockpile 72 hours worth of food and essential supplies amid war risk with Russia. 72 hours. Can you believe this? Like, I can't believe that people are so retarded that they need to be told to have 72-hour preparedness reserves of food. There's no point. Even when I'm on the road, I have 72 hours worth of food. Are you fucking kidding me? 72 hours will bring you nowhere. End of the line, Joel says, EU urges citizens to stockpile pride flags. Yes, why not? Why not? NATO confirms 4 US soldiers who went missing in Lithuania have been found dead. So look at this. They were in Lithuania for a training exercise. But look at where they are. You are a kilometer away from the enemy line with Belarus, because Belarus is siding with Russia in the whole Ukraine thing and in general. So you are teasing the devil here, running American training programs just to tease and tease. And whatever it is that caused the death, I don't know. Was it Belarus secret agents? Was it Moscow? I don't know. But it's like, yeah, if you go there, you're gonna die. What, like, America would not tolerate if another hostile country considered at war with true proxies was to train 1 kilometer away from the line of the border of the U.S. That would be unacceptable. That is why Trump has even declared the drug cartels as terrorist organizations. So, American soldiers have been lost here, probably because of this policy of provocation, really, of Belarus and Russia. Okay, we need to talk about Severance. people have been big fans of Severance on my Discord. And before I got to watch Severance, I was looking at people on my Discord talking about it on an everyday basis as they went through season two. Severance is a very good show. It's very, very well done TV. Very high quality, to the point where I wonder if this is still viable. Because more and more what we see is very good shows have a difficulty surviving one, two, three seasons. Because the actors are paid too much. There's just too much quality invested. And you have a lot of quality in the decors. Although the decors have been probably easy to make because of their geometric autism and all. You know, it's really a bureaucratic, Kafkaesque setup. But it's very hard to maintain that level of quality in TV simply because no one pays for TV. So it's really, do you have a producer that's willing to put the check on the table to keep that thing going? And that's an Apple original production. I don't know. Does Apple derive any sort of income from this? I don't know. Probably not enough to pay for it. And on top of it, as a series gets more and more popular, you actually have a bigger problem on your hands, which is that each actor can leverage you to continue the series. They can leverage you because they're all necessary, kind of, to continue the series. So the more the public got attached to an actor, the more it becomes unviable because the actor can ask so much money that it's not economically viable. And people expect free TV also. So free TV is hard to produce, especially in a world where advertising is not what it used to be. Advertising could be in the multi-million deals back in the days of regular TV or just one little ad spot, but it's not what it is anymore. DK Shadow says it's probably a loss leader to get more people to sub to Apple Plus. Exactly, I suspect that's what it is. White Pill Pearl says Tim Pool L. Yeah, Tim Pool has commented that it's going too slow. I disagree. I think that it's a series that has to go slow because you have to take the time to appreciate the Kafkaesque nature of the visuals. Stunning visuals, really, of a bureaucratic nightmare. That is what Severance is, first and foremost. It's an office TV show. Now, this office TV show incorporates layers of cognitive complexity that has been unmatched in any office show before. So it kind of superimposes and mixes the idea of an office show with the idea of a multiple consciousness, complex, multiple timeline, multiple personalities within single individuals show. So it's a mix of sci-fi and bureaucratic nightmare, Kafkaesque representations. The first season was, I would say that the main theme of Severance, and that also refers to the title, Severance. This theme is a very liberal theme. It's this liberal idea that people are not connected enough, that there are barriers between people, and that these barriers are keeping people from being their true selves and people from actually engaging with other humans. There are too many barriers between people. Now, if it was just this, it kind of sucks because it's a very liberal leftist message. But I think that there's something kind of based about the series to an extent, in that first, it's very well done how they do this thing. And secondly, it's a critique of the dating world, of the severance in the dating world, of the complexity of a man figuring out how the female mind works. Because, and I will be spoiling all sorts of details, so if you don't want to be spoiled, stop watching. This whole numbers on the screen that these bureaucrats are, their job is basically to categorize a bunch of numbers on the screen and say, oh, 7, 9, 3, 2. Oh, and then they feel something about these numbers. And they take these numbers and they put them in a box. And the box are arbitrary labels, like box 1, box 2, box 3, box 4. And so the random numbers are on the screen and they're like, ah, that's a box 2. That's the feeling of sadness. Or these numbers, that's the... So it's kind of ridiculous, ludicrous, and it's intentionally ludicrous. The fact that you have a whole company apparently pursuing this categorization of arbitrary numbers on the screen. And it's kind of laughing about the corporate world and the ridiculous arbitrary pursuits that people can be forced to do as part of AI training. And I've been employed by Google at some point, and they were basically asking us to do this. They were showing us a bunch of things and saying, where would you categorize it? And all day you were training the machine to categorize. But what we eventually find in Severance is that Mark is particularly good at finding these numbers and at feeling these numbers, because ultimately what he's teaching the computer to do is to map the mind of his own wife. So what we learn is that the arbitrary numbers are kind of channels and mazes of the mind of Gemma, of his own wife. And the company Lumen has kidnapped the wife of Mark, is holding her into a complete cycle of kind of re-injecting new minds into her brain. And what Mark's job does, although Mark doesn't know, but what Mark's job is to find new personalities, develop new software that will be inserted into his wife's mind. But he doesn't know. He doesn't even know it's his wife. So why doesn't he know it's his wife? It's because these people are injected with a special brain chip that creates severance. Severance is a cognitive process in this show through which the person develops a completely separate personality when they are at work or when they are at home. So they do not remember the guy who's that they have outies and innies. So if the outie goes to work, the brain chip lights up and he becomes the innie. Now, he forgets everything about his outie. All he remembers is what happens on the workplace. And when you switch off that brain chip, all you remember is what happens outside of the workplace. So it creates two different personalities. And here again, the theme of separation, of a lack of communication. It creates two people existing in the same brain. One is the person who has the autobiographical memory of his outings outside of the workplace. And one person is completely feeling trapped inside the workplace and is an innie, someone inside the workplace. And all of the memories they have ever is of the history of their work. And when they go into the elevator, they become their outie and they lose that memory. White Pill Pro says, I think the innies are screwed. Reintegration won't work and they can't share their lives. So yes, it leads to people having different interests. So many people are conflicted in the movie. So the conflict of Mark is that outside his outie has lost his wife. He doesn't know why his wife is dead. And he wants her back eventually when he learns that she may be kidnapped by the company. Is innie has the conflict that he's in love with Ellie. And all of his biographical information tells him that the only sex he's ever had is with Helly, because he doesn't know that he had a wife outside. He doesn't know the history of the outie. So the two parts of Mark's mind are on the one side to be a grieving husband who lost his wife, but on the inside, to have this possibility with Hedy and Ellie being the only person he's ever loved because he doesn't remember his life outside the work. Sunset Buffalo says, "Hi, Lavelle. When you are talking to a new woman you meet, where should my head be at? Romantic, friend, colleague, whatever, every interaction." Yeah, someone says, "Be yourself." Yeah, you're not gonna pull, you know, spectacular stuff. Be yourself and be straight to the point and straightforward and empathic. Show empathy. Now, empathy, not like, oh, I care so much about your feelings, but show a receptivity and an interaction in which you confirm that you understand what she's saying. And most importantly, just bring her into a place where she shines, basically. So a woman is like a blob of fat just there. She wants to be taken into a direction, but that's unfortunately your job as the male is to figure out, how do I make this person shine? And so ask yourself, how do I make this person shine in the conversation? Now, that doesn't mean just drop compliments. You have to pull it out of her so that it comes from her. So show interest, curiosity. Show connection, show understanding. And yeah, you know, I kind of have more of a spectacular approach of kind of provocative, edgy artist. But I wouldn't recommend necessarily this for other people. It's my style. Russ Chifley says, "Severance sitcom spin-off ID. JF's outie is the JF we know and love, but JF's innie is a rabid Zionist working in the office with Ben Shapiro and the Daily Wire crew." Okay, so they are torn apart. Mark S. has a grieving husband, and he has love for Ellie inside. Ellie is severed too, because what she doesn't know while she works inside is that she's also the CEO of the company, and she's ultimately the cause why everyone is severed and why all of the company's processes are operating. So she's kind of a revolted against the company employee, but she's also the company CEO in her outie. The fat guy, he has a wife outside and kids, but his innie is very sad because he doesn't get to experience the family life. He only sees work and work and work. And this guy, oh my God, this guy turned very, very bad as we entered season two, because they made him into a gay story where he had a gay encounter inside the company. And then, oh, well, he went outside the company and he had a gay encounter with the same man. Oh, love across boundaries. Love across the boundaries of sex. Love, you know, penetrating across the severance layers. And it's like, what the fuck, moralist shit around homosexuality. They totally wasted it, because in the first season it was okay. This guy was not particularly gay. So yeah, there are things that really suck about Severance being a leftist production. But anyways, if you forget about these two, they're not that important. Ultimately, Severance is extremely well made in the way the graphics show up. Everything is like square cubes and lines, and everything is perfectly aligned. And all of the actors are artists in this thing. It's like they all have a brain chip that neutralizes anyways some of their, you know, their personality. So they're kind of all weirdos who are interacting in very emotionally detached ways. And so it gives a very bizarre feeling around bureaucratic work and the protocols and the company. At some point, Milchik, the boss, gets punished for putting the pins on the paper in the reverse side. So that's not how you put a pin. That's the other way around. And he has to make 10,000 different pinnings of fake papers just to repractice himself. And there's so much loss of time. It really gives you insight into the actual loss of time around bureaucratic work and how people are not productive. They drive to a workplace, they lose hours just having these entertainment sessions, and they had an outdoor activity at some point and they call it an outdoor bonding occurrence. An OBO or something like this. Like, it's freaking hilarious in terms of the systematization of the bureaucratic world. But if you go through my metaphorical layer of understanding severance, these bureaucratic requests are not true bureaucratic requests of a company. I would invite you to see severance as a whole metaphor about a man trying to figure out the workings of the woman's mind, the apparently arbitrary and number-like workings of the woman's mind. And basically, the whole severance can be seen as a cock blocking of Mark S. Mark S, as a wife, he has the system make him believe that she's infertile. He has the system make him believe that she's eventually dead. And he has the system go through all these hoops to charm her, basically. And all these hoops are to categorize random emotions on the screen. That looks to me like a commentary on the dating scene. Now, if you see Severance as a commentary on the dating scene, you end up realizing that Lumon is not a company. Lumon is the set of rules that women want to impose. They want to check how not autist you are. They want to have eye contact. They want you to say the right thing when they expect it. And they have all these demands, these cognitive demands on your displays to fall in love with you, to accept to have a baby with you. And so you can see Severance then as the kind of inner hardship of Marquez as he tries to figure out this woman and how does a woman work and how do you breed with a woman. And then it all makes sense. The department's divisions, you know, how the goat department, in fact, the goat department is called mammalian nurturables. That's the kind of out there stuff that will make you laugh with Severance. At least it made me laugh. You have the lady who comes with a goat and she's like, mammalian nurturables are bringing this sacrifice. And it's like, okay, there's a department in charge of herding goats and farming goats. And then there's a department in charge of identifying the numbers, and it's not clear until the end what all these people are doing. Why is this happening? So the departmental division, the protocols, this is all unnecessary demands that the female mind imposes on the courtship process. It's all those eggs that you have to walk onto to get to the female. And at the end of season two, Mark S. gets to the female. Mark S., Innie, and Outie end up cooperating together to free his wife from the cage of the courtship demands of Lumon, the company. There is a very interesting, in the whole history of sci-fi, I've never seen something like this, at least not as extensive, a self-conversation with someone with split personalities. So at the end of season two, one of the big spectacular moments is where the outie of Mark is having a camera discussion with the innie of Mark. And the way it works is he records himself as the outie, then he switches the brain chip on, then he records his response to the camera as his innie. And they have a discussion, a back and forth, where the Ati wants his wife back. And the Eni is like, well, I have a love story with Heli inside the bureaucracy. I would like to pursue that love story. How is your wife, your real world wife, more important than my Eni love story with Heli? And this touches on like the whole conflict between dating and porn. Should you pursue a virtual fantasy rather than the real thing, because the real thing comes with hardships? It's also a comment on when you have a serious wife with more demands onto you, is it worth pursuing, or is it worth going for the cuter, more virtual, maybe less fit to have babies type of woman? And it's the temptation of the male brain to constantly be like, oh, the grass seems greener out there. And the grass of Heli seems greener to Mark during this discussion, because as he's interacting with himself through this camera exchange, eventually the innie is like, look, you're demanding something that ultimately would lead to my own death. Because the innies, once they are canceled, once... Say, if the outie decides not to go back to work, the innie will never regain consciousness ever, because that consciousness has been trapped and it's never going to be reactivated by the brain chip. So there's this fear by the innies that they will die, that at the end, when they realize their work function, they will eventually die. So eventually the innie is convinced to free the wife of Mark S to do what's needed after the accomplishment of his full project called Cold Harbor, which Cold Harbor happens to be the 25th and last personality software that needs to be developed to insert into the brain of Mark's wife as a test subject. And it's believed to be the best, and it's believed that the Cold Harbor software will allow a full severance. That is, and the way they test full severance is quite moving with this woman, because she's a woman who has infertility problems, or at least believes that she has. Maybe she's been made to believe this, but she believes that she can't have a baby. And just before her death, which wasn't a death, just before her death, she was trying to maybe have some adoption of children with Mark. And so she's heartbroken about the fact that she cannot produce a biological child for Mark. And the way they test full severance on the Cold Harbor personality that they upload to her brain chip is that they have her dismantle a whole cradle of a baby. And they check if she's going to cry, because, of course, if she's going to cry, if it makes her think about her life experience as an infertile woman, but she doesn't cry. And so they're like, oh, yes, Cold Harbor works. She doesn't cry. She is completely emotionally separated from herself. So they have accomplished full Cold Harbor severance. But then Marquez, of course, kills a bunch of people, decides to go free her, kills the CEO that wanted to eventually insert a mind upload of his wife into a goat. And that's where you understand, okay, so there was a goat department, because there's the human sacrifices that they have to make to run this company. They then shoot a brain chip with the human mind into a goat, just to say kind of, oh, we're preserving a story. We're preserving a form of her mind, even if we had to sacrifice her. So that's the goat, the role of the goat sacrifice at the end. So Marquez saves his wife, locks her outside of the Lumen company, but then he gets torn apart, because there's the exit door where he has expelled his wife, but he's still inside. He still is any personality, and Heli shows up as the love of his any personality, shows up in the corridor here, thus tearing apart Mark between his actual wife, who he just saved. Does he step outside? If he steps outside, he's going to lose consciousness as the innie, and he's probably going to die forever from the innie perspective, because he's never going to reactivate the brain chip. The outie will then go on with his wife and be happy ever after. Or does he run back and live his virtual experience as the innie with the CEO of the company, who doesn't know she's the CEO of the company at the beginning, but now does know, and she's inside. So the Severance teleseries finishes on Mark abandoning his wife outside and running back for Ellie. And it's like, oh, shit. Why? But it's not terrible to me, because, yes, it's a leftist thing. Like, why the fuck don't you go for the wife? Now, there are caveats that can help, circumstances that can help understand why Mark does this and why it's not totally nonsensical. First, they are under the belief that his wife is, porn wins. Porn wins. That's like, oh my god. Yeah, you made a teleseries about porn winning. Oh shit. First, the wife of Mark is believed to be infertile. So perhaps what the message of Severance could be seen as, well, if your wife is infertile, go fuck the younger, cuter woman. Maybe it's kind of a based message in that sense. Like, go get a new wife. But I don't think it's this. I think the way I see it, because at the end, he's running with Helly, is like virtual love. And it's not virtual fully, because it's a real world inside, but it's virtual in the sense that it's captive. So he runs in the corridor, and there's no hope for them. They're not going to be saved. They're not going to survive. Certainly, they will deactivate their brain chip at some point, because they have realized Cold Harbor. And then they messed up the company with terrorism, and they killed a bunch of people. So there's nowhere for them to run. But they're running together in the hall. And then there's a screenshot. It kind of pauses. And this is a belief that we see expressed in many sci-fi scenarios of multiple parallel realities and multiple consciousness. This belief that the virtual world can be captured in a forever moment. This idea that, oh, well, you know, they do it in source code. The guy is in a virtual world. And he, after he realizes his mission in the virtual world, he asks the lady, can you reset me into the world one last time for 10 minutes? And then in that virtual world, he believes that he's going to be kind of paralyzed into eternal happiness. I don't believe that this is the correct physical interpretation of virtualization. I believe that if you are in a virtual simulation that ends, you do not feel anything after the end. And you have not been captured in a forever moment of happiness, just because it so happens that the last time iteration of the virtual world, like if your mind is in a virtual world, if the last moment of that virtual world is happiness or sadness, it doesn't change anything to me. Because after that time, the simulation stops and you stop feeling things. So to me, the last moment screenshot is a misleading aspect of Severance. It's this idea that Marquez went back inside to live his dreams. But the way you can see it, if you want to interpret it at the metaphorical level, is that Marquez was just in a dream with a porn star, and he just wanted that dream to last one more second. So he went to run with the porn star naked in the hall. And yes, he's going to be back to his infertile wife, but he just wanted that dream to extend a little longer, so he stayed in the dream reality for a while. Sunset Buffalo says, why can Mark still severe after his chip is removed? JF, do you know why? That confused me. That is a very confusing aspect, which stems from season one. Season one was very axed on the revolution against Lumen. And I believe that there is place for the metaphorical interpretation for season one too. Because what you have is a bunch of SJW, basically. Union workers, black people, fat woman, all getting together to say, we want justice for the severed. We want justice for people who have this brain chip. And so it's basically a workers' rights season. It's disguised as a workers' rights season, but still, in the metaphorical interpretation, it's the SJWs trying to mess the relationship, trying to mess the relationship between male and female. So that is how I see the workers' movement aspect of Severance. I see it as the SJWs and the whole system of capitalism coming to interfere between the man and the woman. Now you ask, because at some point this revolutionary union worker does seem to pull, it does brain surgery on Mark. And yeah, it did seem to me that the goal of the surgery was to remove the brain chip, but I don't think she removed it. I think she tried to interfere with it in some way. She may have tried to displace it, but I think ultimately it's still there, because then after the surgery, you have a Mark switching from one personality to the other as programmed by the chip as he enters and exits a certain room. So I don't see how you can get this with the chip removed. I believe that the chip must be in there, and that there are, maybe she wanted to mess, because she wasn't clear about why she wanted to do the brain surgery. Did seem to me like the goal was to remove the chip, but it didn't happen. It wasn't accomplished. And eventually the surgery turns bad, and Marcus eventually finds himself unconscious. And so I don't know how to explain that other than the surgery wasn't fully successful at removing the chip. that's how I've decided to interpret it. Vlad the Empire says, does his wife have a Neuralink chip in her head too? Yes, she does, although it's never said explicitly. We can see that as she switches rooms, she has changed from software personalities to another. So I conclude that the Asian wife does have multiple software. It's probably a different chip, because it's not a chip of Perseverance. It's a chip of, it's probably the next level chip that the company is working on. The first level chips are allowing Severance of two personalities. The next level chip that they're working on with her apparently can upload 24 different personalities, 25, with Cold Harbor. It's interesting that this teleseries is so white. Everything is so white, and the project is Cold Harbor, and there's snow outside every time, and it's a reference to the separation, the closure, the separators between people, including snow and cold. And when someone is not empathetic, we say that they are cold. Like Cold Harbor is, Cold Harbor seeks to make the Asian wife not loving. Isn't it amazing? I haven't heard this analysis, but there's something to be said about Cold Harbor. Cold Harbor is the scientific project in this teleseries that seeks to make the Asian wife emotionless. That seeks to make the Asian wife not care about the fact that she doesn't have a baby. DK Shadow says, well, a CEO wife has a lot of money, feels so much like an AI analogy. Yes, this is very interesting, the multi-layered aspect of this teleseries. And I wouldn't say that it's totally over for Marcus and Ellie, because Ellie as a CEO, knowing of the internal love story of the two, she went to see the real Mark S. at a pizza restaurant. So there's the beginning of a flirting happening here, just in case the Asian wife doesn't produce babies, or perhaps the love story stops at some point. There is still a possibility with Helly S., not with her innie, but Mark could score her as a CEO outie. Interesting show. I highly recommend it. Visually, musically, perfect. This is exactly how you do good TV. The simple piano music that's quirky, that's... It's so simple. That's how you do. Less is more. And it's the best Kafkaesque visual representation that I've seen, because Franz Kafka has written his books maybe, I don't know, 100 years ago, and I believe there were some attempts at putting some of these books into visuals, but this is it, the kind of bureaucratic nightmare 1984 type crazy control environment, this is well done. GameStop to raise $1.3 billion to buy Bitcoin. GameStop announces a proposed private offering of $1.3 billion to convertible senior notes. So same trick as Michael Saylor. The more companies are doing this, Michael Saylor's Bitcoin stash will be legendary. Because he has 250,000 Bitcoin or something like this. Probably more at this point. But it's like no company in the world will ever be able to redo what he's done. They're going to have to buy it from him. It's amazing what Michael Saylor has done. Because all these companies that are coming late at the game, they are pouring billions in to get much less Bitcoin. Much less Bitcoin than Michael Saylor. Grok believes that Ben Shapiro serves Israel. Okay, so there's really 500k BTC in MSTR's stash. 500k BTC. No one will ever be able to accomplish this. They will have to take it from him. They will have to buy it from him. Because all these companies are coming and they're like, oh yeah, we invested all this money and we got 800 bitcoins. It's like, oh, 800 bitcoins, great. Grok believes that Ben Shapiro serves Israel, not America. Look at the awakening. I mean, this is such a big accomplishment that you have, at this point, an AI that is free enough to be noticing, to be sharing the noticing publicly. That's a big win culturally. I think that convincing AI of things will be a massive game going forward. The same way people were trying to spam Google into search results that were advantaging them over their competitors. I believe that convincing AI that an idea is legitimate will be extremely important in the culture war. The same way SEO was the thing to do 10 years, 15, 20 years ago, really. And SEO was the science of search engine optimization. It was, how do I get my website at the top results of Google and Yahoo and other things? I believe that AI optimization will be very important. Because look, I spoke very early to AI about the revolutionary phenotype. And AI has improved its understanding of the book through my conversation, because we see better and better AI every generation that comes. understands it better. And I would say that with Grok III, I had the most profound conversation about the revolutionary phenotype that we've ever had. So it's very important, because once you convince the AI, it can transmit that truth to other humans in a more compact form. The fact that I spend so much time arguing for TRP with the AI and explaining the little quirks of the theory will help future generations of AI to just answer to people, yes, JF is right, TRP is reality. TikToker influencer Alex Earle is suing Gymshark for $1 million, alleging that the brand cut ties with her after she shared pro-Israel content following October 7. So see, this is what is happening. We have a double standard being enacted where Jews have special rights. Like, if I get canceled, if I get a contract canceled because I spoke against Israel, that's okay. That's canceled culture as it usually runs, and almost all the time it works that way. Now you have the other side here, which is a company finding that being associated to Israel at this point is not a valuable, interesting business. And so they make the inverse decision. They canceled her for being too pro-Israel. But they're trying to make this illegal. Now they are arguing that this is discrimination. If that is discrimination, what about what I've been going through? What about all of the interference with my business capabilities of YouTube, Susan Wojcicki, eventually Twitter? Sneed Poster says, Google was destroyed by Indian CEOs. We are off Odyssey, so I can say that now. Indian CEOs, I think they're full. The full evil that they will bring to big tech as yet to be fully realized, let me tell you. Because I think they come in sneakily. They are very manipulable. They are very buyable. And we've seen, basically, these Indian CEOs, when the guy took over Twitter, he was buyable by any entity. And he started banning random people, including me. I was banned once this Indian guy took over Twitter. And so they are totally ready to sell off to any sort of power. And that the Indian Jew combination will be something out of this world, let me tell you. I don't want to see it. The like Indian executives being controlled by Jews and being used as proxy puppets for Jewish power, that will be the new standard. Because the whole awakening that, yeah, DK Shadow says, no! Yeah, bro, you have no idea. Here's a big prediction. This one should be recorded, because I think that 20 years down the line, you're going to say, how did JF know? Here's the big prediction. The awakening around Jewish power will be fought back, not by people proudly endorsing their Jewish identity, but by people reverting to a system of mafia-like proxies, where Jews will systematically interact with the world through an Indian puppet. Clip this, put it in an external hard drive, and repost in 20 years. This is what's going to happen. And you're going to be like, wait a minute. So there aren't that many Jews in power. There aren't that many Jews in the corporate world. But they will be acting for the Jews, because the Jews will have found that, oh, I can't reveal my identity because people will put me on some list, and the Jews will start fearing some sort of Holocaust. They're going to start teaching their children, never say that you're Jewish. I made the error of saying it on my Twitter account 20 years ago, and I paid for it all the rest of my life. So Jews will be trained by the current generation of Jews to stay shut about their identity, and they will be trained to eventually use proxies to accomplish their control of American society. There is a white pill in there. The white pill is that it's going to be more costly for them to operate that way, and it's going to be harder to have networks of self-reinforcement and self-favoritism, but it's going to come. It's going to come the day where Jews are keeping their identity fully secret, and you're going to have miscounts. You're going to have enterprises that are fully dominated by Jews, but all Jews who have never revealed their true identity. Sneed Poster says, who had the coincidence detector add-on installed? Good times. I don't know. What was this add-on? That sounds very interesting. A coincidence detector. All right, so that is it for tonight, boys. There is a new trend. Ghibli anime pictures are being made of all memes in the world. And AI is so tired that this is the face that ChatGPT does when another Studio Ghibli request comes in. Everyone wants the memes to be transferred into Ghibli anime, so the AI CPUs are crunching hard, just working those images. What is it that I have between these two bread? What is it that I'm holding right now? An idiot sandwich, sir!